Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Through 25 seasons, 4,561 episodes, I believe The Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the LOLs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show. The podcast. He was a successful accountant. She was a teacher. Together, they had two sons and a loving 28-year marriage.
They were one of the kindest, most generous, loving, funny, outgoing family. And they loved their children. They loved each other.
Walk the bar.
In Sugarland, Texas, an upscale suburb of Houston, the Whitakers' big brick house was a neighborhood gathering spot.
The Whitakers' house was the home we went to in high school. We hung out at the Whitakers' every single weekend. And that was because Trisha and Kent were so loving.
The oldest son, Bart, was smart, good-looking, and athletic. His younger brother, Kevin, was outgoing and popular and looked up to his big brother.
He thought his brother was the greatest thing. He wanted to be just like Bart.
On December 10, 2003, the Whitakers went out for dinner to celebrate Bart's upcoming college graduation. They'd given him his graduation present, a Rolex watch, earlier that day. Around 8:30 that evening, the family arrived back home.
Sugarland 911, station emergency.
I have had this shot. We were walking in the house, my brother and my mom and my dad.
We have one subject right now, a shot in the arm. Apparently the whole family's been shot.
Police Sergeant Marshall Slott was among the first to arrive on the scene.
Kevin and Trisha were shot almost immediately upon walking through the front door. They were both shot in the center of their chest. Kent ran towards the front door. He was shot at that time. Bart, he ran into the living room. That's where he was shot. There were only four shots fired and there were four hits.
Well, Trisha and her youngest son, Kevin, died that night. Bart and his father, Kent, survived the shooting. Hours after the attack, Kent made a promise to himself that he would forgive the person who killed his family. So if you have somebody to forgive in your life, it should be easier after today's show because you'll find out that what he was able to do was seemingly impossible. The close-knit, upscale community was shaken by the news of this violent attack. What happened that night to the Whitaker family? Was there a killer on the loose? Can you imagine if that happened in your neighborhood? Nobody would be able to sleep. You'd be, you know, wondering what is going on. Well, our Lisa Ling went down to Sugarland, Texas, to report.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I met with Sergeant Marshall Slott, the lead investigator on the Whitaker case.
The community's perception was that there was this wild, crazed killer out there. And we knew fairly soon after the investigation started that that wasn't the case.
In any homicide, you start looking at the people closest to the people who are killed. Well, the only two surviving victims of this situation were Kent and Bart. We did the walkthrough interviews with Kent and Bart. We did them separately so that neither one of them could taint the other's walkthrough. When I spoke with Kent, Kent was very exact. Kent was very expressive in talking about the shots.
Bang! Bang! And I think I knew that it was gunshots.
Bart was very guarded in his words.
I think I don't know why I said that, because I honestly don't remember.
He wouldn't commit to anything.
Then a bombshell. Remember, the night of the murders, the family had been out celebrating Bart's upcoming college graduation.
A day or two after the shootings, we received information from Sam Houston State University that Bart was not a student there. And so bells and whistles started going off at that time. Why would this kid, who's a victim, an innocent victim of a shooting, lie to me about where he was going to school or what he was doing? Because the information we had from him was that he was graduating. The information we got confirmed to us from the school was that he was on academic probation and still in his freshman year.
And that wasn't the only bombshell, Lisa. What else?
That's right. Well, 2 years before the murder, the cops came knocking on Kent and Trisha's door to say that an informant had told them that their eldest son, Bart, had been plotting to kill his family. So Kent and Trisha...
2 years before.
2 years before. Mm-hmm. So Kent and Trisha allegedly confronted Bart, and he said that it was part of a drunken joke, and they believed him.
And did nothing, obviously.
They did nothing. I mean, Trisha apparently told a friend that she was concerned about it, but she couldn't believe that it could be true.
So did police immediately suspect that it was Bart?
They immediately suspected that it could be Bart, and he was a suspect from the get-go. But they were learning things that they just couldn't possibly reveal to the family because it was in the course of this investigation.
So as the investigation continued, police began to focus on Bart Whitaker's friends.
This murderer is still out there. The police need our help. So for your own families, for everybody's sake, let's catch him.
The public didn't realize it, but one of Bart's friends had already given them the break in the case they'd been looking for. After being brought in for questioning, 21-year-old Stephen Champagne confessed Bart had convinced him and another friend, Christopher Brashear, to kill his family.
Detectives from Sugar Land Police say they have learned more about the crime that happened in this subdivision Wednesday night.
As the police began to close in on Bart, he disappeared without a trace.
So for more than a year, police had no leads. They suspected that it was Bart, but they had no leads as to where Bart had gone. So a tipster led authorities to Mexico, where they found Bart. He was living under an alias, had been working at a furniture store, and dating his boss's daughter. Bart was arrested and convicted of capital murder and sentenced to death. Remember that hours after his wife and youngest son were shot dead, this is Bart's father, Kent Whitaker vowed that he would forgive the killer. But at the time, he didn't realize that the killer was his son.
I met Kent Whitaker at his home in Sugar Land, Texas. He still lives in the same house where his wife and son were murdered.
So what happened that night?
Kevin opened the door and got about this far. And there was a gunman standing, and he shot him, and Kevin fell into the entryway. Trisha then was at the threshold, I heard her say, "Oh no." And there was another loud noise. And she fell down and somehow ended up with her head on the threshold of the house. Now, I was still out on the porch, and I just didn't understand what those noises were. At that point, I was hit hard in the shoulder, and that's when I knew what had happened. They were gunshots. By the way, it's a strange feeling when you look down there and you see your white shirt turning red, and you know, I may be dying. I don't know. I may be dead in another minute or two. I just didn't know how bad it was.
That was Lisa Ling with Kit Whitaker, who joins us today. Thank you for being here. How hard was it to go back to that house and live in the same house where your wife and son were murdered?
When we drove up to the house the first time after leaving the hospital, I wondered, am I going to be able to go back in? Because, you know, I knew I'd be passing where my wife and son had died. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. Yeah. And I wasn't sure I'd be able to pass it. But I'd reached a zone when I got up to the front door where I was just numb. Mm-hmm. And it was like I was a robot, and I passed by the spots. And people asked me how I could possibly live in that house. Mm-hmm. And while there was something very horrible that happened there, it was still my home, and it had been my home for 25 years, and there were a lot of great memories there. And it was still my house.
All right. And how soon were you able to go home? How long were you hospitalized?
We were in the hospital about 4 days.
Mm-hmm. How did you first feel when you were told that Bart had not been enrolled in the school and was on academic probation after your family had been out celebrating what you thought was his graduation? How did you first feel?
Well, it was, as you can imagine, the parents' worst nightmare. I didn't believe it for a minute.
That he wasn't enrolled?
Yeah, I didn't believe it, but at the same time, the police were telling me, and I had to believe it. It just didn't make sense.
And so in that moment, did you start to think, well, now?
Well, sure.
Well, now, being suspicious of why he had lied and mm-hmm. perhaps maybe he could have been involved.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I heard, I confronted him with it, and he said that it had been the result of scheduling problems at work and some people had left, and he thought that he'd be able to make up the deficit, you know, the next mm-hmm. semester. It didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense, but then what did you tell yourself?
Gosh, what do you do? I knew that the police might be right. But at the same time, I wasn't going to discard my only son just because they said that he was a suspect. I thought, well, I'll just work with both sides. I'll help Bart as he needs help, and I'll help the police. And if I hear of something, then I'll tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I maintain my neutrality on it.
At what point, you write about this in the book. The book is fascinating, may I say, Murder by Family. At what point were you told that it was dangerous for you because you and Bart went back to the house, as you described earlier?
Yeah.
And at what point were you told by the police that it was dangerous for you to be in that house, that you were risking your life?
Very early mm-hmm. and many times.
And it's important to note that Bart actually came and lived with Kent
yes.
for 7 months after the murders took place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you believe that he was a suspect? Were you suspicious yourself?
Well, if the police tell you that, of course, there's a certain amount of suspicion. And it changed. From early on, I thought, well, maybe there's a 5% chance that he may have. Maybe he'd gotten involved with some bad crowds, and he would offer to let the house be open for a robbery as a payback attempt or something.
Okay, but this is what I couldn't understand while reading this, and it must have been very hard for you to write, too. But what I couldn't understand is the police had already told you 2 years before. Isn't that a strange thing to be told by the police that your son is plotting to kill
you? How about anybody in the room?
Yeah.
What would you think if the police knocked on your door at 1 a.m. and said, "I'm sorry, but your college son is on the way to kill you"?
Yeah.
Would you believe that? I mean, I'd never seen any purpose or any reason to suspect.
Yeah, I know, but it would make me think.
Well, of course.
Big question mark.
And that's why I questioned the police so deeply. And the official explanation from them was that there was nothing to it. There was an argument between roommates that had been increased by alcohol and overheard by somebody and misunderstood.
Did you confront Bart about that?
Well, sure.
What did he say?
I'm not
Oprah, I'm a good dad, and I was very active in my family's life. And
yeah, I can
of course
see
I can,
this. I can
of course
see
I can confronted him. I mean, yeah. If there's a problem, you want to find out about your kids so that you can step in and help them correct it.
Right.
And we did everything we could, both Trisha and I, to get to the bottom of it. And in this situation, it was a matter of whether you believe the police, who made the final decision that there wasn't anything wrong.
Yeah, Kent, I'm not here to try to attack you or judge
you. I know
you.
That.
The thing is, I've read the book, they haven't.
Yes.
So that's why I'm asking, when you confronted your son about the police questioning, the police coming to you and saying, we suspect that your son was on his way to kill you, what did he say?
Oh, he said that he explained it as he and his roommate had been arguing because he and a girlfriend had been watching television loud, and he asked them to turn it down, and they wouldn't. And the program was on the Menendez brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And he made the comment, well, they went about it all wrong anyway. If you were going to do it, this is how you'd do it. And that's what she heard. And
so that's what he told you.
That's what he told us.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade, New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker, London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The Whitakers had a tight-knit circle of friends who were devastated by these murders. Lisa Ling sat down with Julie and Matt Barnhill and their daughter, Brittany, who all say they're still trying to piece together what went wrong here.
Okay, so what was your relationship like with the Whitakers?
Family friends.
Yeah.
Just really good family friends.
We've been high schoolers since second grade, but what was the family like?
The family.
He was an engaged dad doing, you know, guy things with the boys. We took them rafting and trips to the mountains, hiking.
That is at prom, that's our senior prom.
What was Kevin like?
He's a great friend.
Trisha?
She was really funny and welcoming, and she was such an incredible friend.
Did you know Bart well?
Close your eyes real quick, okay? Make it work.
I don't think any of us knew him well.
Did you think you knew him?
He was aloof, and I saw him as insecure and kind of cocky and overcompensated. I think he's a stereotypical sociopath. He may be the most narcissistic person I've ever known personally.
So did Kent and Trisha confide in you all about any problems that they may have ever had with the boys?
Well, Trisha and I talked a lot.
The cops came to the Whitakers' home because they had unhatched a plot that Bart was planning to kill them. Did Trisha tell you about that?
She did, and on one hand, she was very troubled about it. And on the other hand, she completely dismissed it and kind of laughed about it. She would say things like, why in the world would they think Bart would do something like that? I know it bothered her. It was on her mind a lot because she talked about it for a while. And I don't know if she ever truly trusted him.
That's interesting. Mm. Did you fully trust him?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
And that thing that they were describing, that narcissistic, cocky thing, trait, did you sense that in him?
I knew he was kind of self-centered, yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of myself in him when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was very cocky and very sure. And
but narcissistic is a pretty strong
term. It is. I wish I was schooled enough to say I recognize that. Mm-hmm. Matt's a psychologist. He does this. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I never was told that by anyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So remember that the night of the attack, the family was celebrating Bart's college graduation. Mm. that he'd even gotten a Rolex watch as a gift, but Bart had been living a lie. He hadn't even completed his freshman year. Yeah. So all this time, he had been pulling the wool over your eyes.
Yeah. Wasn't nice.
Freshman, sophomore, junior. Had you seen grades or had you?
He'd submitted grades and he'd falsified them. Mm-hmm. One of the problems is that when a kid gets to be 18 years old, he becomes an adult. Mm-hmm. And you can't, or some states it's 21, but you cannot, even though you're paying the bills and you're the parent, you can't get transcripts directly from the school.
Okay, so what I'm asking, and as you talk about in the book, is clues along the way that something was off, because now as you sit back as a father and you look back, and the reason to have this conversation with our viewers is not just so that they are voyeur in your life, but that so that they can, you know, look for clues in their own, you know, lives. So what are the clues that you think you missed?
Honestly, there weren't a whole lot of, mm-hmm. of flags. Mm-hmm. Trish and I were very hands-on, active parents. But
one of the things you say on page 85 here is, I wondered if Trisha and I had been too quick to accept excuses and overlook things. It was becoming clear that my son had a side that none of our family had seen, and I was furious, hurt, and worried about how far the deception had gone. Right. Yeah.
And that's very true. That concern came obviously after the shootings and after the police told me that he was not enrolled and that they feared for my life living with him. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I suppose if there had been someone living with us that wasn't part of the family, they could see that there might be something here or there. But he was a good kid. I mean, he and I spent a lot of time together.
So even after you realized that he had lied and was not even was still a freshman and wasn't graduating, and your wife and other son have been shot, and even after you realized that, you still were not suspicious enough or believing that he could have done this, committed this crime.
I didn't believe my son would have done that, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been just over a year since Kit Whitaker's son, Bart, was sentenced to death for masterminding the murders of his own family. Bart now lives on death row in a Texas prison and has never spoken publicly until now. Lisa Ling was there talking to him.
I've covered many stories in prisons and jails around the world, but I've never interviewed anyone on death row before. I have to say that I have been eagerly and nervously anticipating this interview with Bart Whitaker because I've interviewed so many people about him, and he's been described as a master manipulator, as a pathological liar, someone who led a double life. So I can't help but wonder who we're going to be getting when we interview him.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm Lisa.
I was only granted an hour with Bart, so I started with the question on everyone's mind.
Why did you do what you did? I mean, why did you want to kill your family?
I can go back and tell you why I felt so inadequate and why I felt that my parents didn't love me. And I recognize so many of the errors now. There's a difference between an excuse and a reason, and I don't try to make excuses for what I did. I try to... You can't. You can't make an excuse for this, but yeah, there were things that happened that were reasons for it.
From what we hear from friends of the family and so on, you seem like you had very loving parents who really gave you a lot. Is there something that we just don't know?
Well, even from a very young age, I believe that what my parents loved was an idealized version of me, and that I kept telling myself if I worked really hard and I succeeded, that I would be that person. But I knew in my heart that I wasn't that person, and I felt like if they knew who I really was, that affection would dry up. And you know, you can only go through that for so long before you start to bear a grudge against the people you think have set that high standard.
Did you love your family?
Yeah.
Did you love your brother, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was envious. He had so many of the qualities that I tried so hard for over the years. You know, people just loved him, always.
So you loved them, but you also hated them at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, we humans are kind of messy like that sometimes.
At what point in your life did you realize that you wanted to kill your father, your mother, and Kevin?
I don't think my dissatisfaction turned to outright hatred until high school. There was a point in there, I guess, sophomore year, where I was just so tired of being me. I was tired of feeling like a failure all the time, and I started to blame them for the way I felt. And it wasn't something that I just decided one day, hey, I want to kill my parents. It was just something to try to ease the pressure a little bit. I wanted my life to be different. And however my thought process got there, I blame them for me. I blame them for me being in existence. I wanted revenge for being alive.
How does it make you feel hearing your son say he wanted revenge for being alive?
It hurts, but then I would like to know why. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who you are and you don't like who you are,
you're a danger to yourself and to other people. What do you want to say, Lisa?
Well, I mean, I had no frame of reference because I had never met Bart before this interview, but he seemed to be very candid, and my sense is that he still doesn't know who he is. And I think that he, for years, he was deceiving everyone, even the people closest to him. He started living this lie, and he no longer could make a distinction between what was a lie and what was reality.
Well, he says in the book here on page 136, he wrote a letter to you saying, I wish I'd been different. I wish I could have made you proud. I wish I'd done other things other than take all the time. I say I love you, but what I really feel is mainly respect for the man you are. I love Mom and Kevin, but I also felt a lot of hatred, and I have no idea why. I think I really don't know what anything feels like. Mm-hmm. I'm a bad copy, a ripple reflection of what a human being should be. I have all the external characteristics of being a man, but under the skin, I cannot identify anything.
That's tragic, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's
tragic.
Horrible.
It is tragic.
Do you feel like you know him yet?
I think he's changed, but I don't know that he has. I can't truly read his heart. I thought I'd read his heart for all these years. But I think I know him much better now than I did before.
What makes you think he's changed and that he's not just manipulating you?
Could be. He's good at it. He's proven he has. Mm-hmm. But my love for him and my forgiveness for him isn't based on him changing. Mm-hmm. That's between him and God and himself.
Yeah, yeah. That's powerful, actually. Yeah. It's really powerful because your forgiveness is based upon what you're doing to release yourself from the revenge and the hatred. Right. Well, we have the Barnhills. What do you want to say, Julie and Matt? They are joining us from their home in Texas. Their daughter, Brittany, joins us from college in Virginia. Julie and Matt, does it surprise you that Kent has been able to forgive Bart?
No, I'm not surprised. Kent's a man of faith, and every day he makes decisions where he's trying to honor God. So the last thing I am is surprised that he wants to be a guy who's got forgiveness in his heart. I mean, that's just the man I know in him.
You know him because you're his pastor, right? Yeah.
Well, we were good friends before I was his pastor, and I am also his pastor as well, so.
Yeah. So when we heard you earlier say that what you saw in him was that he was a sociopath and a narcissist. Julie, you'd seen that also, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Sure have.
Yeah. And so, did you...
We came to that conclusion after the shootings. I didn't believe he was a sociopath prior to that, but I visited him in jail, and the way he led me through just our talks in jail, the way he continued to lie after the shootings, the 7 months before he ran off to Mexico.
When Tricia would talk to you about Bart and this whole incident, did she sense some of this? Because I know mothers and family members watching, you want to know, was there something you felt or sensed? I know you said earlier that you believe that she didn't trust him fully.
I do believe that. I do believe that there was a part of her that was still cautious about him. Even the week before he was graduating. She kept saying, she said to me on Sunday morning at church, she said, I just can't believe he's going to graduate. I can't believe this is really going to happen to him. I just feel like the bottom's going to fall out any minute. Mm-hmm. And I do think sometimes a mother's heart feels when something's just not quite right.
Yeah.
At the same time, she wanted to believe so desperately in her child that she loves so very much.
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. Did you ever have any of those feelings, Kent?
It's hard. Here I am on national television, and you see things, but you don't believe them. There's so many other positive things that happen that convince you that you want to believe your kids. And I do know that it's probably wrong, but a lot of times I think Trisha told her girlfriend stuff that she didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel sorry for what you did?
Yeah, sorry is just a word. It doesn't even come close to what I feel. I would do anything to change it, but I can't, so.
Why should we believe what you're saying? I mean, so much of your life has frankly been a lie.
That's ultimately a decision that you have to make. I mean, I can only tell you what I'm feeling inside, and you can, just like everybody, choose to believe that or not.
Did it surprise you when your father forgave you?
Yeah. I don't mean to say that I didn't think he was capable of it, but when somebody does something that amazing, yeah, it's always a little surprising.
Do you think you deserve that forgiveness?
It's very easy for me to forgive other people. It's incredibly difficult for me to forgive myself, so.
Do you have any idea what your last words will be?
I know that there's some things that I'll talk about to my dad during our last visit, but I don't want anyone there at my execution. That's an ugly thing to have to see, and I wouldn't want them to carry that for the rest of their lives.
So, would you want to be there?
Of course I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. Mm-hmm.
And Matt, you will probably be saying the last words, right? Yeah. So, Lisa, did you believe him? I'm looking at the audience. The audience isn't buying it. I can tell you that right now.
It's a hard question. I mean,
especially when he says, it's easy for me to forgive other people, but hard to forgive myself. You didn't forgive your own mother for bringing you into the world. You didn't forgive your brother who loved and adored you. So what is he talking about? It's easy for me to forgive other
people. You know, it's a hard question for me to answer because he was very convincing and he seemed, in that hour-long interview, very remorseful. But I sincerely had to keep checking myself knowing that I don't know that there's been a single person who's been able to really know who the real Bart is. Mm-hmm. So was he remorseful? He seemed so, but whether he is in fact is only he knows.
Right. Well, we're joined now by psychiatrist Dr. Ned Hallowell, who's on Skype, joining us from his office in New York. What is your definition of sociopath?
Well, first of all, just let me say my heart really goes out to Kent. A sociopath is someone who doesn't have a conscience. It's a chilling kind of condition, but where you're simply not constrained by the usual feelings of love, empathy, shame, fear, guilt that most of us are constrained by. And when you remove a conscience, the only thing in your way is don't get caught. And you're just sort of looking for stimulation. You're looking for excitement. You're looking for some way of feeling alive because you don't have these loving connections. And if you throw in narcissism, which loosely defined is sort of the inability to love or receive love,
yeah,
then that's a tremendously dangerous combination. I should also add, it's no one's fault. You know, these things happen, and you're not born with it. You grow into it. But I think what probably happened with Bart is he didn't receive the love he was given in such a way as to build a conscience and to build the internal apparatus he needed to guide him and sustain him. Instead, he felt empty, and then gradually angry. and just in search of some grand drama that could make him feel alive. And it reached, obviously, these terribly tragic proportions.
Well, you've written the book Dare to Forgive. And as I said earlier, Kent was in the hospital and made a decision that he was going to forgive even when he didn't know who the killer was, obviously when he thought the killer was some stranger and not in his own family. Do you have to be a special kind of person or have a special kind of faith to have that kind of forgiveness?
Well, I think you do, but it doesn't have to be a faith in God or in any organized religion. You have to sort of have a faith in some belief system, a faith that there is a goodness that you want to appeal to, because you basically have to reach up out of the kind of morass of primitive feelings. When something awful like this happens, your natural feeling is to take revenge.
Yeah.
Your natural feeling is to feel rage and anger, and you want to attack and get even. And you have to have some belief system that you can reach up to and say, no, I'm not going to go there. I don't want my pain to turn into more pain. I want my pain to turn into something better. And that belief system, you know, maybe just a feeling, a belief in goodness, a belief in tomorrow, a belief in, you know, we can create a better world. And so, but yes, you have to have that. And I should also add, forgiveness is a gift you give to yourself. This is something that's good for Kent as well as for Bart.
There's a quote that I read and really loved that speaks to the idea that forgiveness isn't something that you do because you are condoning the person, what someone has done or forgetting about it, nor does it mean relieving the person of responsibility, but it simply means letting go of the hate. So
exactly.
That's what we're talking about when we say forgive.
Exactly. It is not at all that you condone what happened. It is not at all that you're saying, turn the other cheek, do it again, that sort of thing. It's you're saying, I don't want to live with this poison of chronic rage and resentment. You have to be able to get angry. You know, getting angry is like a sneeze. It clears the system.
Which I was going to ask you, Kent, did you get angry?
Sure, I did. Yeah. I mean, this person has stolen my entire life.
Yeah. I loved where you said in the book you'd been with your wife for 28 years and been faithful to her.
Yes, I had.
For 28 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved my wife. I never expected to grow old with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor's right. You really do have to make that decision. We all have the choice of whether we're going to forgive or not.
Yeah.
And for me, I was a man of faith, and I know that God calls us to forgive. And while that was the hardest thing, I think I knew I couldn't do it without his help. But he calls us to forgive, and I wanted to be faithful in that, even though I knew it would be very, very difficult, and that he was going to have to do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But I also knew that we have to, from the psychologist's point of view, you have to forgive in order to heal.
Move forward.
I wanted to heal so bad. I wanted a resumption of my life.
And that is the real lesson for anybody who's watching today who hadn't forgiven your mm-hmm. sister-in-law because she didn't come to your party. Yeah. That is the real lesson, is because you carry the poison with you. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Isn't that true, Ned?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because the cost of not forgiving is to the person who's holding on to whatever it is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's why you let go of it, so that you can free yourself.
Exactly.
All right.
But I also have to add, it's so impressive what Kent has done. He continues to love his son, and it's a gift he gives to himself, you know, that he will see his son off to his death mm-hmm. loving him rather than hating him.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much better, and it takes such courage on his part and conviction.
Yeah.
I mean, I do believe that to an extent, Bart was operating on autopilot, and even though this plan had been in motion for a long time, I don't know that he thought about what would happen if it actually happened and the consequences.
I think what he says here on page 136 is really accurate, that I'm a bad copy, a rippled reflection of what a human being should be, that he's trying to be human. He's trying to feel. He's trying to be a man. I'm trying. I have all the external characteristics of being a man, but under the skin, I can't identify anything. And as you were saying earlier, if you've lost your basically, is what the doctor is saying. He lost his way. He's lost his way. If you lost your way, you don't know who you are, you don't have any real feelings or compassion for yourself or other people, then that's what you have. That's what being a sociopath is. But I agree that remarkable what Kent was able to do, and one of the reasons why I was interested in telling this story on the air is not just for us to be voyeurs, but for each person who's listening today to look in your life and ask, who do you need to forgive? Mm-hmm. Who do you need to forgive? What kind of baggage are you carrying? What toxin, poison are you constantly refeeding yourself because you haven't forgiven? Because to be able to see this man do this for his son, who he knows killed his beloved son and wife, means that it is possible. That's what your being here today says to me, that forgiveness is possible. Right, right, Dr. Ned?
Absolutely. And it's, my goodness, if he can do that, you can forgive your sister-in-law, the person who cuts you off in traffic.
Mm-hmm. You certainly can, yeah.
But you know, the wonderful thing is, if you do take that choice, you do choose to forgive, changes come in you, and that's when you're really able to start healing.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I would never be where I am now if I had not made that choice in the hospital that night.
In terms of healing?
In terms of healing.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and
it helped you even to get over the grieving, did it not?
Grieving's a hard thing, but you know, I'd hate to waste all that pain ending up on the other end after having gone through the grieving with still that bitterness of spirit.
Yes.
I wanted to get through that hard time and know that there's still life out there.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it.
I would have to agree with Dr. Hollowell that Kent has been an example of what, you know, putting love into action. So thank you for showing us what that looks like.
Thank you.
His book is called Murder by Family. It's a fascinating story. Thanks also to psychiatrist Dr. Ned Hollowell. And his book is called Dare to Forgive. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lisa Ling. Thank you, Barnhills. And also Brittany, who we didn't get to, who was sitting there in Virginia waiting to go on. Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for your time, but we just ran out of time. Thank you.
That's okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye, everybody.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade, New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker, London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.